happy to know him as Lord.
Amen.
You know, that verse says, lift up holy hands. And if you're like me, you probably don't feel like these hands are holy. But you know, Brother Ram talked about how Peter in the scriptures, Peter said, the holy mountain. And Brother Ram said, it wasn't a holy mountain, but it was a holy God on the mountain.
Right.
Amen. These hands aren't holy. But if God dwells in this heart, dwells in your heart, that makes you a holy people. Amen. So in ourselves, we don't lift our hands and say, well, I'm holy. But by faith in his promised word and what he said he did in you with salvation, we lift up holy hands. Amen. Let's sing that again to the Lord. And just sing it to him and worship him.
Let us lift up holy hands, magnify his name.
Also your time. Amen. Just look, we'd let the musicians go and have their seats. Praise the Lord. God is good to us.
Amen.
Amen. I'd rather wear out than rust out. You've heard that phrase before.
Right.
Amen. And so, you know, I believe God wants us to enjoy our journey. And you know what? I know this may sound a little bit crazy, but I believe that a Christian, if he found himself in a Hitler's camps, he can still enjoy his journey.
Mm-hmm.
May sound strange, but no matter what comes our way, we're a free people.
That's right.
Amen. If you have Christ inside, you're a free people, no matter what this outside consists of.
That's right.
You might have something in your eye digging at your eye, but you're free.
Yeah.
Right? And so we just thank the Lord. You might have some pains in your body somewhere, but you're free. We thank the Lord for that. To know that, to have that revelation burning down in our hearts is worth more than anything this world could ever have to offer. We go ahead and open our Bibles, and I kind of always feel funny to apologize for a long, lengthy reading, but because I shouldn't apologize for reading the Word, because you're a blessed people to be able to read it. But anyway, it's a rather lengthy reading. We'll get it done, and then you can be seated. So Deuteronomy chapter 4. Verses 1 through 19. And there's a couple other short scriptures that I'll have her put up there. But I think just to save time, when we get to the next scriptures after this one, if you want to just look on the board and not bother having to look it up, because I got about three other places I want to read after we read this one. And this is at the end of Moses' ministry, when the Lord's about to take him home. And Moses is going back and he's rehearsing to the children of Israel all the things that had happened. And you know, the New Testament closes out by the Lord saying, don't add to and don't take away. In the Old Testament, Moses wrote the Old Testament, a huge portion of it. It closes out the same way. And so we're going to read about this. Moses is saying, now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that you may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord your God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that followed Baal-peor, the Lord thy God destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land wheresoever ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them, for this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great who hath God so nigh unto them as the Lord our God is in all the things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that hath statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law which I set before you this day? Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thy eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life, but teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. Especially, now that he's telling us now, remember these things, and especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, where the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. And ye came near and stood under the mountain, and the mountain burned with fire unto the midst of heaven, with darkness, clouds, and thick darkness. And the Lord spake unto you out of the midst of the fire, and ye heard the voice of the words, but saw no similitude, only ye heard a voice. And he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, even 10 commandments, and he wrote them upon tables of stone. And the Lord commanded me at that time to teach you statutes and judgments, that ye might do them in the land wheresoever you go over to possess it. Take ye therefore good heed unto yourselves, for ye saw no manner of similitude on that day, on the day that the Lord spake unto you in Horeb out of the midst of the fire. Lest ye corrupt yourselves and make you a graven image, the similitude of any figure, the likeness of male or female, the likeness of any beast that is upon the earth, the likeness of any winged fowl that flieth in the air, the likeness of anything that creepeth upon the ground, the likeness of any fish that is in the waters beneath the earth. And lest thou lift up thine eyes into the heaven, and when thou seest the sun and the moon and the stars, even all the hosts of heaven shouldest be driven to worship them and serve them, which the Lord thy God hath divided into all the nations under whole heaven. Let's go now to Luke chapter 4, verse 4. And she'll put it up on the board. We'll just go through these real quick. But Luke chapter 4, verse 4, this is Jesus. And Jesus answered him, speaking to the devil, and saying, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word of God. And Matthew 4:4 says the same thing, every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. Now let's go to Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. And then one more verse, it's Revelation chapter 3, verse 22. And this is all through the Gospels, but also several times through the book of Revelation to each church age. He ends it by saying, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Let's just bow our hearts to him. Our gracious Heavenly Father, as we come to you today and we stand here in this place, Lord, that's so blessed, Lord, because you've provided it for us. And we want to come to you, Lord, just this morning and with expectation, asking God that you would just take this service this morning into your hands, that you would be glorified, that you would speak to the hearts of your people. Lord, that you'd come down in your great Holy Spirit and that you would anoint each one of us and help us this morning to act out what you want to be acted out and say what you want said and to hear what you want to hear. We ask, God, that you would live in us today and just have a liberty among us, Lord, because we want to make you welcome so that you have the freedom to come and deal with our hearts, speak to us, and that also where your Spirit is, we know there is liberty for us. So we just invite you this morning, Lord, and pray that you take this service into thy hands. I ask it in Jesus' name, and you can be seated. Amen. Today I want to talk to you about the voice and image of God, or the voice of God and the image of God. And so, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that is spoken by God. And so, the word of God is spoken by the voice of God, right? The word of God is spoken by the voice of God. And so, the scripture says, and you know, a voice is heard by an ear. Right? So, I kind of read those scriptures real quick, kind of throw them together, but you can just add two and two together, come up with four. It is those who have an ear to hear that are going to be able to live. Right? Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So we would go back in the scriptures here this morning. As I said, we were reading there where Moses had went through all the years, and it was time for him to go off the scene. And he was going back in Deuteronomy, and he's rehearsing to the children of Israel all the things that the Lord did that brought them up to that day, and challenging them not to add to or take away. And so we kind of want to pick up in the scriptures there like that, and maybe parallel that with us today. So in all this, and we didn't read it, but if you're familiar with it, you'll find out that the Lord told him, he said, "Now I chose you, and I didn't choose you because you were a great people. But I came down and I chose you. You were among the smallest of people." And you got to catch the mind of God when you're looking at this. The Lord was to look out over all the earth, and he was going to find somebody and some people that he could come down and he could commit all the oracles of God and all the things that he could do through them, that through them he might bring a process of redeeming mankind and making a way that all the world could be blessed and be saved, those who can be. But it would be a blessing that would come to the whole earth. And so he looked all over the world, and he you know, we know it started with Abraham, but it fell upon the children of Israel. And so Abraham begot Isaac, and Isaac begot Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 patriarchs, the 12 tribes of Israel. So God chose them, and they weren't a big nation. There were many other nations that were much bigger. They were just little bitty people. And so God chose someone out of the earth that he was going to come down, and he's going to bless them and take a people that couldn't do nothing. Right. They couldn't do anything. If they was to stand up and be different than all the other nations would just come and snuff them out. Uh-huh. See, this is a little people. You have to paddle in everybody's boat unless you got somebody that can help you. Right. So he come along and he said, "I'm going to demonstrate to all the world and all mankind throughout all ages what I can do. I'm not going to come down and say, now I'm going to show my glory and I'm going to pick the biggest nation there is in the whole world." That's not what he did. He picked the smallest one. Right. He picked the smallest nation. And so he picked them out, and he with a mighty hand, though that little bitty nation was in bondage to the ruler of the world, he with a mighty hand set that little group of people free and brought them to the promised land. Now he brought them to a place where they were predestinated to be. They were not predestinated to stay down there in Egypt. They were predestinated to come into a land of promise that God had told them. And so when God came down and did these things and began to act this out, he became their redeemer. Mm-hmm. Now, redeem is to bring back. And so we realize that the position that we hold, that we are to be redeemed back to, is not where you used to live and not what you was when you was young. But the place we're to be redeemed back to is where God said we would be. Right. And so something comes along and takes us out of where we are and puts us where God said we are to be, we're not redeemed yet. But then when someone or some power comes down and grabs a hold of us and with a mighty hand makes the world let go of us and set us over here where God said we are, that something is our redeemer. Right. And so he became their redeemer. And he is also enacting all this out. He was their husband. You know, a husband has the responsibility over his wife to take care of her. And he actually reproduces himself through her. She's a helpmeet to him. And so Israel was to be that God was going to come down and show all his glory to all the world for them to see, for all his power to be made known, laying a foundation so that Christ could come and the whole world would go to that and be saved. Yeah. right? So he's laying this foundation and acting out all this, and so he's acting out their redeemer, he's acting out their husband, so he's going to come down and actually reproduce more of his own power, more of his own expression through the nation of Israel, express it to the world so they could see it. So he's acting out that of a husband, acting out that of a king, knowing that he would come along and he, as a king, would have a domain that he would rule over, and everything in that domain would operate the way he wanted it. If he wanted traffic lights, there would be traffic lights. Yeah. If he didn't want traffic lights, there would be no traffic lights. Mm-hmm. If there was a tax that he wanted on the people, there'd be a tax. If he wanted to tithe people, there'd be tithe.
Yeah.
Right? So a king in his domain, he's responsible. He's the chief executive officer, CEO, president of that domain. He's responsible for that domain. And of course, if he's responsible, then he has to have the ability to have it run the way he wants it run. And so he's acting now as a king. And so he comes down. Now, keep in mind, a little people that couldn't do nothing, weren't in the will of God, if you understand what I mean. They were off down here in bondage, Satan just having his way with them. Right? And so God comes down to show his glory, and he takes this group of people and he takes them and he puts them over here in a mighty place that he's prepared for them, and whoops, every country there is around, to get them there to show his glory. And he says in all this that as I express myself through you, as you, as my wife and me being your husband, or me as your king and you're my subject, as I do all this and I'm expressing myself to the world, you are blessed. Because you're not over here where you were. Everything that I do to give glory to myself in you turns out to be a blessing to you. So that's just all there is to it. We're blessed. You know, we're blessed to have breath in our bodies. And so this is what he was doing. He was showing himself to be this, and he was saying to them, basically, you know, without me, you're nothing. Without me, you're not redeemed. Without me, you're all scattered. You have no way to resist, and you'll be a nobody. You'll be dispersed and become nothing. But with me, you become everything.
Yeah, right.
That's what he's saying. That's what he did to Israel in the natural. Right. And so in all this, while he was doing this, he just asked them one little simple thing. This is all I need you to do. And that is, and I know you're saying, well, Brother Tony, there's lots of commandments there, but remember, he said, all I really ask you to do, while I show my glory in you, and I take you from this spot, and I put you over here and bless you above all the peoples of the earth, all I really ask that you do is you have no other gods before me.
Right.
That's all he's asking. And so, because if you know in the New Testament, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, and your neighbor as yourself. And on these two hang all the commandments, right?
Yeah.
And you know how we've expressed that, but you can't love your neighbor as yourself unless you do love the Lord God with all your heart. Mm-hmm. Because it's that love and that relationship with him that drops his spirit and his presence and his life down in you and enables you now to love your neighbor like you're supposed to. So if you don't have that, you certainly won't have it with your neighbors. So you really could reduce it down, not to try and add to, but I believe that what I'm saying is scriptural. What we're talking about is that on that one thing right there, if you have God as your number one centerpiece, everything else is going to be fine.
That's right.
All these other commandments are going to line out just fine as long as he's number one.
Amen.
So all he asked them to do was just have no other gods before me.
Right.
Now in that, sounds simple. Well, that's simple. But in that means that they have to honor him in everything they do.
Right?
Right? Honor them in everything. Because remember, it's his domain. And if he wants a stoplight over here, there's going to be a stoplight. Right? And if he says, don't eat this, you don't eat that.
Right.
And don't wear this or mingle this type of clothes with that type of, then that's the way it is. Because it's his domain, and he's the one that saved us. He's the one that got us out of the mess we were in. So you know what? I'm going to do what he says. Because when I'm in his presence living that way, then I'm blessed. And so that's all he asked was to have no other gods before him. And in doing that, that means that they had to honor everything that he, everything, in everything, honoring in everything.
Yeah.
in the way that they lived and so forth. Now, this is us. This is us because we're not a small, he chose us, right? And we're not a big people. We're a small people. Not one of us is a big people. And what I mean is that you can probably go two city blocks and you can find somebody that, as far as the world's character goes and as far as what might be more likely to be presidential or more likely to be some great leader or some great one that the world could look upon, just within two city blocks you can find somebody that would outdo all of us. We're not a big people. We're not a people that's number one and we're voted most successful. Wanted to be most successful in our high school. My people didn't, in my high school when I graduated, they just voted me as to still be driving the Monte Carlo that I had at that time, whenever years later. That's what they said I'd do. They didn't say, he's going to be president. They didn't say he's going to be a pastor. They didn't count me as much. It's probably the same. But it don't matter because God chose us. And God didn't come down and choose us because we had great abilities in ourselves. And he thought, you know what? I can get glory through that person there because they've got all these talents. No, that's not what it was. He chose us by his love and by his choice. And so he chose us. And by a strong hand, I will say, by a mighty hand, he has delivered us from what we were. From all the things that Satan had wrapped around us, the bondages of this life, with a mighty hand, he set us free. And I say mighty because I couldn't do it. I couldn't set myself free. So with a mighty hand, he set us all free. And he's brought us over into a predestinated place, a promised land, the promised word of the hour to us, a place that you couldn't get there by yourself. So he brought us over just like he did the children of Israel. Brought us into the promised land. And so in all this, he becomes our redeemer. Because there's a predestinated position God had for us, and we weren't there. And so it took the process of him through redemption to come and take us and get us there. So now he is our redeemer. He's our king. Because now we are his city, his domain that he lives in. So he is our king, and he is our husband. He's totally responsible for us, and then he can reproduce himself through us, right? So you see the parallel, it's the same. So in all that, all God's asking us that we do is to have no other gods before him. Have no other God before him. And so that's all he's asking us. He's asking us that we honor him, not another. We recognize him. And not another. And so we find out as we already know, is that God is his word.
Right.
And so all he asks that when he comes down and with his great power and his great ability has redeemed us and made us a people that in this hour we believe the living word of the hour when the rest of the world's rejecting it. He's put us in a predestinated position. All he's saying is just don't have affinity to any other. Only me, and he is the word. So he says, don't go anywhere else. Just recognize me. And in doing that, we have to honor him in everything. So if he, in his great expression, can come down and by his power, he redeems us and it sets us over in this predestinated position. And while he's doing that, he reveals to us that there's only one God. And while he's doing that, he reveals to us that the serpent had a seed. And while he reveals that, there were seven church age messengers and seven seals that were open in our day. And he just reveals all himself while he's with his great power and his mighty right hand blessing us and making us come back to life, as John did, who represented the church. While he's doing all, he just says, just recognize me, who I am. I am the Word. I am the one who has redeemed you. I am these truths. I am these revelations. And all I'm asking is that while I just come down and bless you and use you for my glory and you wind out with a better deal because you didn't have it to begin with and I have put you over here now, while I'm doing that, just recognize me and me alone. Don't make me out to be something else.
Right.
I am the Word. Yeah. I'm the living Word. And that's all he's saying. And so he just says, honor me, have no other gods before me. In other words, recognize me. and honor me in everything. In other words, so you honor me in your home. You honor me at work. You honor me at play. Right?
Yep.
Amen? You honor me when you're searching for a spouse, a wife, or a husband. You honor me when you get married, and in your married life, you honor me in your marriage, and you honor me the way you live each day and the way you raise your children each day. You honor me.
Right?
We honor him in the way we raise our children. We honor him even in the clothes that we wear. The places we go, the things we allow our eyes to look upon or to think on, or things we speak on. Everything. He's just asking. Just don't have anybody else beside me. Just me. No other gods. And so, because it's his domain. And he says, then don't look at this, we don't look at it.
Right.
Don't talk about this, we don't talk about it.
Right.
Don't wear this, we don't wear it. Why? Why? Because he's the Redeemer. He's the one that saved us. He's the one that's the gift. You know, they say don't look a gift horse in the mouth, right? He's the one that has done these things. Don't question him. Just be happy that he's took us from a life of sin destined to hell, and be happy that we're on our road to glory.
Amen.
Thanking him and doing everything we can to express this great power that has come down and saved us and has brought us out. Do everything we can to express that power so that everybody around me, all the nations around us, can look and say, that's a people that God's with. Nobody. I go to church and see all these. Nobody's like this. This people's got something.
Right.
That's the way it should be. God should be with his people. So, he just says, please, you know, all I'm asking that you do is that you honor me. Now, I said, you know, even in what we wear. But you see here in the scriptures, he said now, and we know this over and over through scriptures, abide by these things and you'll be blessed. You walk away from them, your enemies will overtake you. Right? Over and over and over.
Right.
Just stick with me and you'll be fine.
Amen.
But when you start walking away from me, that's the end result. That's just, you know, if you stay with life, you live. But when you walk away from life, it's automatically that you're dead. You're dying. Right? So he just says, stick with me, and I'm the Word. And so he gave all these statutes to Israel, and he even told them what clothes to wear. He told them how to plant their garden, you know, not to plant certain things and mix and mingle seed. Did he not tell them? And so I want to ask you something. Did it matter to Israel? Did it matter what they wore? Did it matter how they married?
Right.
Did it matter? Why did it matter? Because God said so.
Right?
God said so. And for a person to say, well, I'm not going to do it the way God says do it, then you're just walking right away from that and might as well just be walking right out into the camp of the enemy.
Yeah, right.
See? God doesn't destroy, Brother Ray tells us, God doesn't destroy man. Man destroys himself because he walks away from God. That is the result. That's what's wrong with this world, this generation. They've walked away from God, and then they have the audacity to look with a strange look on their face and go, how did he get this way?
Right.
It got this way because long about 1960-something, 1950-something, you turned away from God when he was trying to do something in the midst of you. And that's why the nation's in the case it is now. So these statutes and these requirements, they did matter for Israel. Because if they didn't do it, they just walk right out into the enemy. And the history we have right there in the Bible shows over and over and over that when they walked away from these things, their enemies overtook them.
Yeah.
So God's just asking, just stay with me, honor me, glorify me. Everything will be fine. You know, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's not just the Ten Commandments. We're not necessarily talking about, but what the Old Testament was and has been magnified into the New and falls more into the line of loving God with all your heart, that's what we're talking about. And so to dishonor God, just simply, how do you dishonor him? How do you not keep him before you as the only God you have? How is it that you can take and have another God before him? And the way you do that is by not obeying his word. By not believing him and obeying his word and putting somebody else's word higher, esteeming it higher than his.
Right.
When we believe something else besides his, we put it first, and that's contrary to his, We've got another God before him. See, that's what he's saying. So, that's how you dishonor him. You know, when you don't express proper gratitude and honor toward God that belongs him, that is due him, because of who he is and his character and what he's done for you, when you don't express that, you're dishonoring him. You're walking away from him. You're not, he's not your God when you don't put him in that place.
Yeah.
You know, really, if you think about it, we should only have one God.
Right?
Only one. And that was the thing that God set all the world apart, because remember, Satan wants you to have all kinds of God because that's where he's at. And the whole world goes off into that. And that's the one thing that sets Israel apart and set them apart from all the rest, is that they believe in one God. That's what set them apart. He said, the Lord your God's one God, don't have any other. So they believe that. And that's one thing that sets the bride apart too. I know there's other churches, but you understand there's a movement of Trinitarianism that's in the land. And in their books, you ain't even a Christian if you don't believe in the Trinity. You can study, go look it up. They don't even count you as anything if you don't believe in Trinity. That's a lie of the devil. Brother Bram said, the devil's told you the lie to make you an idolater. That's right. So we don't believe in a bunch of nonsense. There's one God who came and lived in Jesus Christ and now lives in us in the form of the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Same God. Right? And so that's what we believe. And so we want to honor him in everything. And so he's asking us, don't recognize anybody else. Don't look anywhere else. Just honor me. So you can't honor me if you're telling people there's three gods. You can't honor me in this hour if you're telling people there's no such thing as serpent seed. You can't honor me if you tell people that there wasn't anything to this seven church age messengers ministry. You can't honor. You see what I'm saying? Why? Because his word, he is his word, and that's what it says, and he's vindicated, and you can't honor him. So he's not your God if you don't recognize all these things. You see what I'm saying? He's not, because you've got something else you believe higher and esteem higher than his truth. Then you've got another God before you. It's that simple. You know, this concept I'm talking about is pretty much the same thing with my wife. I'll use her since she is my wife. And I can do that, and she's like, uh-oh. But, you know, these principles are the same for my wife. All that I ask, you know, because the scripture says a husband is the redeemer, right? He's a redeemer to the wife. Because why? She had a predestinated person she's to live this life with, and a predestinated children that she's to bring forth, right? Predestinated. And until I come along and married my wife, she was out of the will of God. You say that, may say, you know, Brother Tony, that sounds pretty cocky. No, I'm just telling you. Because you remember, Brother Bram said, God will take your great-grandpa and great-grandma, bring them together to produce and bring them and finally, just to get to you. And just to get the character he wants in you so that he can do and use your character in your nature and anoint that and let you be what, see what I'm saying? So you predestinate him to take this one over here and produce that one, and they come and marry this over here, and now here you are, predestinated. A predestinated people to walk a certain walk with a certain message and be married to a certain one who he did the same thing to them and bring them together to you so that your children would be predestinated and have a certain nature and a certain thing God could do through them.
Yeah.
See, I'm not going to try and stand up here and tell you it's the way the world says it. I'm telling you it's the way God says it. And we're predestinated. My children are predestinated. They have to come to that knowledge. Your children's predestinated. Come to that revelation and know that we're here, not by the will of man or the will of flesh, but by God's will. That's how we got here. And we have a purpose here. And that purpose is the same thing it was from the original Son of God coming forth. We're sons of God. Is to express that invisible God as the Son of God did. We're sons. And so, I'm her redeemer to get her into that predestinated position that our children and that the will of God would be done. And so, and I'm saying this, I know it sounds, you know, male, it's chauvinist or whatever, but just catch what I'm saying. Think of Christ and his church. So my wife would be totally undone If I hadn't come along and we hadn't got married, she'd be totally, completely wandering out there. She might have, if she was married to another man, she wouldn't be in the will of God, because I was the one she was predestinated to be with. And so I come along, and she, her life would just be in shambles. She might be living in a mansion, married to Bill Gates or somebody like that, but her life would be in shambles, spiritually speaking, because, she probably don't want to be married to Bill Gates, but because I was the one she's predestinated to be with. So when I come along, I unleash the potential she had in my presence to make that seed and that germ of ability of life to grow and become what she could be by me marrying her. So I become her redeemer, and I am her husband, and I'm to provide for her, and the husband is the king of the home. See? It's the same arrangement, you understand? And so, that being what it is, all that I ask my wife is that she recognize me, that she honor me, not another, that when she needs something, she doesn't go to someone else, she doesn't go somewhere else for companionship, that she recognizes me, that when she washes the clothes, or when she feeds the children, or when she goes to the store, or when she paints the walls, or whatever it is, that she's thinking and she's doing it for me, for the benefit of the kingdom of God in my household. You see what I'm saying? And that's all I ask. I just ask that she recognize me and not worship another, not go after another, not honor another. That when she says, oh, I need something from my husband, I need to go talk to him, she doesn't walk over to a wall and start trying to get from the wall something that can only come from me. That she doesn't go over to my neighbor and start asking him, wanting something, or her, or whoever it is, and trying to get from them what she needs from me. I just ask that she always recognize that I am the source. Right? And that's what God is saying. Don't go off somewhere else and look to a denomination, or go off over here and look to this, and don't look to the United States government or somebody else to supply. No, only go to him. The one that is your God. That's all he's asking. And so when we look to some other system to satisfy us and help us, when it really should be God we're going to, we're putting something before him. It hurt his feelings. If my wife needed something and I found out she was going to my neighbor, and we don't even know our neighbors hardly, but I mean, not like that, but if I found out she needed something and she went to my neighbor and asked him for money to buy a new dress, what do you think that would do to me if I found out about that? Now I'm speaking as a man. Well, what about God? Remember in the scriptures when a guy sent to inquire of Beelzebub, could he get it over that sickness? And God sent the prophet and said, is it because there's not a God in Israel that you'd do this? See what I mean? So God would say the same thing to us. Is it because have I not shown myself to be with you? Have I not shown that I can heal you of your sicknesses and help you when you need guidance? Have I not done this? Why would you go off over here when I'm the one that can provide these things for you? That's who I am. Right? Keep in mind as we go through this who he is. He is the Word. Why would we go somewhere else? So I want her to come to me when she needs something. I want her to live for me and reverence me. And it is a type of worship. The right attitude that a wife has for her husband is a type of worship. Right? To reverence her husband. And I'm not sitting here preaching you. This is not a sermon about sisters, how you need to treat your husband. You take it and use whatever you need to with it. But I'm talking about a relationship with God. Of what he is, and the reverence that we have, the duty we have as his wife, to render to him everything that belongs to him, and don't be trying to reduce him down to something else that he's not. He's much greater than that. So, when God did all these things, it was read there in the scriptures there how Moses is saying, you know, here's what all's happened. Be careful. Be careful how you do this. Make sure that you keep these statutes and so forth. So when he was setting all this in order to them, he told them, he says, don't you make a graven image. of me. Don't you make a graven image of me. Because when you were on the mountain and I came down to reveal myself to you, and I came down to do those things, you didn't see any similitude whatsoever. It was a thick, dark cloud, and you didn't see nothing. So don't you go off here and start trying to create something that represents me. Don't you take part of my creation and reduce me down to be that. Because I made male and I made females and I made creeping things and fowls of the air and beasts of the earth and fish in the water, and I made the sun and the moon and the stars. I made all those things, but don't you reduce me to that.
Yeah.
Right? Now remember in Romans chapter 1 what happened, what makes a Sodomite's age. When a people knew God and didn't glorify him as God, but they made him like unto four-footed creatures and so forth. So they did exactly what he's telling them not to do right here. And because of that, they were turned over to do those things that weren't convenient, reprobate mind, and you know what the rest of it is. It's because of this. This is what's wrong with this age. Because of this right here. They failed to maintain God for what he is, and hold him right there in that high regard. They begin to reduce him down to something else. So he says, don't you make any kind of graven images. Because if you make one, you're going to try to make it like a calf. Or like an ox. Or you're going to try and make it like this. Or it's going to look like a man. Like the saints that the Catholic Church makes. You're going to make some sort of image. And you're going to try and say, no, that's God. Or maybe you're not making it and saying it's God. But you're making it like Brother Ram said. You make it. And you bow yourself down, prostrate, and enter into some sort of something, and you believe that God comes down and inhabits the thing that you've created, the workmanship of man's hand. You believe he's come down, and now he's in that, and you worship him in this creation that you made after something you thought. See what I'm saying? This is more than just don't have any graven images of some other God before me. There's more to it than that. Okay? So he says, don't you go make forth anything because, and I'm paraphrasing, okay, but don't make something, some image that you think look like me, because I made sure that you didn't see nothing. You saw nothing to represent me, so you can't go forth and create something and say, this look like God. See? So he said, don't you do that. And so he tells them, you didn't see nothing, so don't you make an image of something like that. Because when you do that, you reduce the creator down to something like his creation. You know, I know people who do not go to church. I do know some personally, but their worship on Sunday is a fishing pole, a beautiful sunrise on a lake. And you know, Brother Brown preached that sermon, let us see God, and God's in his universe, God in his word, God in his church. And if you got, I told somebody this week, sitting across the table from him, I said, if you don't have God in your heart, you're not going to see God out here on anything. Right. You're not going to see it right. Right? That's what I said. You won't see things right out here if you don't have the right thing inside. You got to. Right? And so, a lot of people will go out and they'll go hiking and we enjoy that. That's when we go hunting and stuff. We get up and you see the sunrise and you see God. Well, there's people who won't darken the doorway of a church, but they'll go out there, and that's what they're experiencing. They're seeing God in universe, and it just speaks to their heart, and they're a nature freak because that's what they see, you know, and they experience that. And why? So they're tapping into a little something, and to them, that's God. But they've reduced him down to just his creation. So what are they doing? They're fighting. When they knew God, if they knew him before that, and they failed to hold him in the regard that he is, now they've reduced him down and they make him like something he's created. And the result of that is what you find out in this generation today.
Yeah.
And so he tells them, don't make this, don't make an image, because you didn't see nothing. I made sure that you didn't see anything, because I don't want you worshiping an image like that, not that you would create. And basically what he's saying is like, don't you create an image, but I'll make the image of God for you. I'll make sure, don't you create it, but I'll express it. And at the time being then, he didn't show them what that was. Not directly. So what did they see? What would they encounter when they was on that mountain and they saw no similitude? They just saw darkness. What did they encounter? They encountered God, but they didn't encounter anything they could see. But what did they encounter? The voice of his words. Now you see what he's telling you here. How do you worship God? How do you honor God? How do you recognize God? How do you have no other God before him? How do you do that? You recognize him in the form that he is. And he made sure that he didn't show any form, but the form he wanted them to experience was his word. So they walked away from that mountain, and the only thing they had was the voice of God, and that's the way they were to worship. This statute, these commandments, this voice that come to him, and that's how they serve God. So whenever they lived their lives, and they married their wives, and they raised their children, they did it according to the word, as they do it according to the word, they're worshiping the God that was on the mountain who let them know that that was his image, his word. His word is his image because God dwells in his word. So he made that. That was the image of God. And he said, don't you create anything, just the word. We find out later on the word became flesh. Right? And now we worship Jesus Christ. But Jesus Christ is still the word. And I'll say this, before you ever think about the man that walked up and down the shores of Galilee, before you ever think about the image of Hoffman, the head of Christ back there, what you need to think of when you think of worshiping God is the word. How do you worship him? You keep his commandments. You honor him. Your life that you conduct always expresses that word that he is. You're always expressing the glory of God to everybody around you by living differently than they do, but believing his word enough to live according to his word in their presence so they have something to see. Right? You know, it's interesting. On Sunday mornings, I go to McDonald's and there are people there, and you can tell. I don't know who they are, and they ain't even church people because they're not dressed that way. They're just workers and whatever. But there's a certain number of people, and they look at you, and they see because you got a tie on, and, you know, they look at you, and they'll greet you with an honor and a respect. Because they know you to be about something that's right. They may not be right, living right, but they recognize that in you. Some don't. But I see it every Sunday, just any time. Like that one time I was up at Brahms, and the guy said, good morning, Pastor. I had never seen a man before in my life. Why'd you call me that? Where'd you hear me? I mean, I don't know who you are. I ain't never seen you before, but that's what he said. I'm like, do I have something written all over my face or what? But you know what I'm saying? These people, they can recognize that in you. They recognize, and that's what they should. They should recognize God because he's living in us. We're not living like the world. There's a difference between us and the world.
Right.
And they see something there. I remember when I was working at Calvary McBride, and Debbie Reynolds, you remember her. You don't remember her? You do remember her, don't you? Okay, shake your head. And I worked over that printing company. You know, and she run around and half dressed, you know, her way she dressed was not acceptable to Christian standards, whatever, and so forth, you know. But one day, she said to me, she said, you know what? She said, people respect you. I said, why? What are you talking about? She said, well, like in these meetings we said, in them steering committee meetings they were having. She said, you stand for what's right. And she said, people may never tell you anything. She said, but they see that and they admire you. I'd have never thought that would have come from her. But it did. And that's my point. We live, how do we honor God? How do we worship God? How do we make sure he's number one? We make sure that we live according to him. We live to express him. Not another. Not another word, not another expression, not living some other way different than what he wants. We stay with him because that's where the blessing is.
Right.
And so we see that's what he said. Don't you make anything different. You just do it the way I provide it. And what he provided was his word. And that's what they lived by. So they were commanded, you know, had the mezuzah thing they put on their door, had the law written in it, and they'd touch it as they come in and go out like that. And he says, you come and go. Why? As everything you do, everywhere you go, that word, you got to pass by that word. That word should be there in your mind always. As I come and as I go, as I get up and go out in the morning, as I come home at night. When I'm going out in the morning, head to the workplace, that word's number one. That's first. When I come home to be with my family, that word's number one. It's first. Right? That's what he did in them. And it's no different now. He just asked that we make sure nobody else is before him.
Yeah.
Right? That we live for him. That we don't make it out to be some kind of a male or female beast or a fowl or a creeping thing or some denomination or something like that. Because when you do that, you reduce him down to something that's got limitations. And our God has no limitations except unbelief. Right? To unbelief. He can do no mighty works or miracles there because of their unbelief. Right? But if you believe, our God has no limits. He can't fail. Right? And so, if we make him out to be something like a calf, you've limited him. You make him out to be like something else, you've limited him. You make him out to be your denominational headquarters, you've limited him. And that's not fair. That's not fair. If I have the ability to be a carpenter, to make a nice cabinet or something for my wife, I'm not saying I do, but I'm saying if I did. And how do you think that'd make me feel if I overheard her talking to the neighbor over the fence and say, yeah, my husband, he can't build nothing. Or I thought he could do it and he failed. What he built was pathetic. You know what I'm saying? But if I really had the ability to make fine furniture or whatever, and she's off out here saying, yeah, he can't do it, how would that make me feel? And if we sat here, we come a trial and some enemy comes before us and we're like, I wish God could take care of this. How does that make him feel? Are we honoring him? When we come to a trial, we're tempted at school or at work or something like that, and now we just melt down and, you see what I'm saying? We're reducing him down to limitations, and he doesn't have limitations except your unbelief that's got you reducing him down to something else. And when that happens, we're starting to move into idolatry because we're making something else greater in power than him. If something's got to happen to the people, to the church, and for this truth, these truths aren't any good if they don't come out and actually manifest and hit the ground running in fleshly manifestation every day. What good does it do if it doesn't hit the road? And make it where the rubber meets the road, then it's a powerless religion. But it's got to be something that's got some strength to it, where it puts people out there living something, living Christ, making converts to Christ, because you're living a light in a dark generation. It's got to be, because if it doesn't do that, then it's not doing much good. God didn't light his church as a candle and hide them under a bushel. That's not what he did. He puts them up on a hill so they can't be hid. And so we don't want to reduce him down to something that's some part of his creation or something less. And we want to declare him totally as what he is. And he was the word there on the mountain. That's what he made. That was the only thing they experienced. And he went forth and they lived according to that word, according to that law. And as Moses said, what nation is there? There's no other nation going to have this kind of judgment. No other nation going to know how to live this way. As Brother Daniel said, you can't live it yourself. It's him in you. But what kind of people? There's no other people except the bride of Christ that has this kind of presence of God in their midst, that they can live this and manifest this thing that they say is there in the truth in the scriptures. They can manifest it. What kind of people? Nobody else can do that. Just always remember this. That if it's God's chosen people, God will manifest himself in them above and beyond anything else. He'll always do exploits and wonders greater because that's the way he works. Because he has that ability. So he said, they heard his voice, they followed his word, and his word is his image. His word is his body. His word is where he dwells. His word is that is his power. And all he's asking is that you recognize him and who he is, and he is the word. So you follow after his word, you live according to his word, and everything we do is to express his truth to this generation. Everything. And what you say, what you do. Now you can go out and you can try to express these things without having that experience, but that won't work either. The only thing that works is that you truly do love the Lord God with all your heart. That you really do love God. And he is his word. And so his word became flesh, as I said a while ago, his word became flesh, and Jesus Christ is the image of the invisible God. We read it in Hebrews. But then Jesus Christ, everything that God was, he poured into Christ, and everything Christ was, he poured into church. So now the church is the invisible, is the image of the invisible God. That God who was in the man Christ Jesus expressing himself, that spirit, that God is now in you, expressing himself in you, making himself known to the world through you.
Yeah.
Right? That's the way it is. He's now in you and wants to make himself known. That spirit in you desires to conquer everything that comes your way as an opposition to the word.
Yeah.
That's what he wants. So let's don't hold him back. Let's let him have free reign in our lives to express, no matter where you're at. If you're somewhere and he says, go lay hands on that crippled person and it's a restaurant, that's fine. Do it. See what I'm saying? Because if you limit him to something else, then you're not making him God like he really is. He's not your God. And so now he lives in his people. Christ in his creation, Christ in his word, Christ in his church, as Brother Branham said. And now he's in his bride, and that makes us the word. We're predestinated the word just like he was. So that makes us the word. And when we come to him, we come to his word. On what basis do we come to church? We come to church because he tells us to assemble together. Right? He tells us to. Why do we read our Bible and pray? Because we're told to. We're supposed to. And we find out as a Christian, it gives you strength. After a while, you realize that. But we do these things. Why do we not dress certain ways? Because God said so. Why do we go and do? Because he said so.
Yeah.
And if we didn't do that, we wouldn't be honoring him. We wouldn't be worshiping him. So it's on the basis of his word. When some trouble rises in your house, what do? You go to him. What is he? The word. Right? He's the word. So what do? When something comes your way, you go to that word. What's the word say about this? The word says that he heals all of our diseases, right?
Yeah.
He heals all of it, right? Not just some of it. So that's what I'm saying. Everything we do, when you go to the closet, or maybe I shouldn't say closet, when you go to the store to buy clothes, you go to the word to select your clothes. When you go to a radio station or something like that, you go to the word to select your station. When you're going to interact with your friends, you go to the word on how you interact. And when you choose your friends, you go to the word. What? God, his word. You're recognizing him living like they did in the Old Testament according to the voice that was upon the mountain. Now we are living according to his voice today. Living according to the thing. So when we come to him for anything, no matter what it is, whatever we need, we come to him on the basis of his word. If he was sitting up here on this platform on a chair and you needed something, you would come to him. You wouldn't go off back over there somewhere. You'd come to him. And he's his word. So when something happens, you go to him. When you want to go out and you want to express him, you've got to express the word to the world. That's the way he is God for you and no other God before him. No other teachings. No other system. Just him. He's what we're all about. When we come together, like Brother Daniel said, he loves to be a Christian. I do too. I love church. I love God's people. But I love God in his word. I love God in his revelation. I love him in this message. I love him on those tapes. I love him in his people. I love it when we come together in fellowship. I love the word coming forth in this place. I love the Spirit moving from one to the next. I love God. He's in all that. That's God. And I worship Him in that, because it's His Word coming to pass. I honor it. I recognize, and I you know, when you run into somebody and says, "Oh, you don't have to go to church." Oh, yes, you do. You know what I'm saying? People, "Oh, you don't have to. Forsake not the assembling." So on Sunday morning, what am I going to do today? Forsake not. You go to the Word. Lord, what am I doing today? Forsake not the assembling of yourselves together. Right? So we come to church. Now I do that because I want to come to church. I do. But I want to be with God's people. And I want to see them fellowship around the Word. And I love God and His people. And I love Him in His Word. And I love to see Him heal. And I love to see Him do the things He promised He was going to do. And I love Him on rapture morning. But it's all Him. Okay? He's not the beautiful, I mean, he created the beautiful sunset, and you might say He's in that, and He is, but that's not Him. Right? And we might love His healing, but that's not Him. You see what I'm saying? My wife can be married to me, and she can wash my clothes, and she can fix my supper, and she can sit down and have a conversation with me as much as she's supposed to, and her heart still not be with me. She can mechanically go through those things. But what about her heart? What about her intimacy in that realm, that spirit realm where you connect? What about that? You see what I'm saying?
Right.
So God's in all that, but you can still miss Him if He's not really number one. So you want Him to be number one, and then in that He does all these things. And we love Him, but we know He is Christ the Word. Not just the manifestation, not just what He created, but Him. We love His law. We love His statutes. We love the fact that He's given us instructions on how to do things with it we wouldn't have a clue to do in this hour. We love the fact that there's revelations that come off those tapes there that has put our feet on a straight path in this hour that we wouldn't be on with it if we didn't have it. We love that. We rally around all these things. We rally around all that, but it's the person of the Word that we're following. Amen. That's the image of God. We find Him in His living Word. My wife finds me in me. And sometimes on Sunday, I take her out to eat. Sometimes on Sunday, I don't. I'm still me. And I'm still the source that she comes to. You see what I'm saying? So sometimes God does this, sometimes, because He's the living Word. Right? He's not a cookie cutter. He's the only cookie cutter saying all the time is that He's the living Word that can't fail. That's always the same. But outside of that, He's not a cookie cutter God. He'll deal with things differently. I've went and prayed for people that was on their deathbed and God raised them up, and I'd go pray for somebody else in my mind thinking it would be the same way, and they died. Because God's not a cookie cutter God. You see what I'm saying? He makes us different. And so we are the bride, and He's now in us, and we love Him in His people. His people are Him, but then they are. You understand what I'm saying? So we worship the God that is in us. So when I said the title of this is the voice of God, the image of God, His voice spoke His Word and became His image, and that image lived in Christ Jesus. It was spoken on the mountain. They followed that Word, and here we are now. We're still following the Word. Still following the Word, the living Word. And when you follow it, you become the expression of it, and He now lives within you. And you become that God on display. And we'd love to see Him and His people that way. So, everything that we stand for is all about this. It's all about Him, that image being declared to the world. Not through just motions, but from the heart to love Him and say, "God, I'll not be ashamed of Your gospel. I'll stand out here and express You to the world." When everybody at work wants to tell their dirty jokes, I'm not going to listen to it.
Right.
I'm not going to be part of it. Amen. So we love Him that way. Do you love Him like that?
Amen.
You love to see him fulfill his promises. Amen. But he, the person, that personal relationship is what we want to have first and foremost, number one. Amen. I'm glad to know him in the fashion that I do. And you know what? When I make mistakes, you know what I do? I just ask him to make me an overcomer. Make me an overcomer, and then I start thanking him. Lord, I thank you for making me an overcomer. And you know why I do that? Because I have seen in his word, in his promises, he said, that's for you. He didn't tell you that you wasn't going to make mistakes, but he did tell you that he'll make you an overcomer to those things. If you'll let your confession line up with his word, and you'll confess with your mouth what he says, he'll make your body line up with your confession. And if you have a hard time living some portion of the word, you just say, God, set me free from this. Make me an overcomer to this. Make me to where I can live this word. And now, God, I thank you for making it where I am overcomer to this. And you keep doing that, and he'll see things change. And at some point, you'll look back, and those things will be gone. Yeah. Right? They'll be gone. And what does that mean? It's not that you're not going to have trouble. It's not that you're not going to fall flat on your face and be disappointed. You will. But you're still his children. You're still his people. You're still marching. You fall, you get up, and you march. You fall, you get up, and you march.
Right.
When you come to that revelation, you realize that we are the people of God, and God is in our midst to do exactly what he said he was due, and the only thing that can limit him is unbelief.
Right.
Then we're going to believe that he's going to do exactly what he said he would do. And what he's told us, that our children be saved, I don't care what they're out doing, they'll be saved because he said so, and we're his people.
Yeah.
He's come down and handpicked us and put us over here in this place of a people who believe his word. And because he's done that, I'm going to go with it. I'm going to go with what he's done in my life. Amen? You're going to go with what he's done in your life and rejoice along the way, enjoying the journey. Yeah, it's scary. You rise up and here's the devil. You rise up and you get something in your eye. In your eye, 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm up this morning trying to figure out what's going on with my eye. It hurt me this morning. You know how it is. That like, whoa. You know what the devil tried to tell me? It was a board fell over yesterday, a big piece of plywood, and I was several feet from it. Poof, this dust come flying up in the air, right into both eyes. This is the way the devil works. The devil says, you remember Brother McHugh? You remember that guy that was going blind? And this part's not on tape, but I know somebody who's personal friends with Brother McHugh and told me his testimony. Brother McHugh was under a house doing some construction work, and some dust from the underneath the house fell into his eye and set up an infection in his eye. And a doctor had been doctoring him for 2 years, and he was going blind in it. And he went camping with Brother Branham. Remember the story? He went camping with Brother Branham, and he said, Brother Branham, does God ever show you anything like our visions out here? And he said, well, yes, brother, but I come out here to get away from that. And he turned to walk away, Brother Branham did, and the Lord showed him a vision, and he saw that doctor telling Brother McHugh, he said, I've been doctoring you for 2 years, you're going to lose that eyesight. And Brother Branham turned to him and said, the reason why you asked me that is because you're a doctor. And this is what he said. And Brother Branham also saw Brother McHugh's mother had some little tumors hanging on her feet. She pulled up her dress to the side and said, if you see Brother Branham, have him pray for my feet. And he said, and your mother, and said thus and thus about her feet. And God healed Brother McHugh. But this is what the devil says. You know how he works? Ruthless. No limits to what he tries to put up on you. Say, remember Brother McHugh? It's construction work. All that filthy dust got in his eyes. This is what the devil tried to tell me. You got that stuff in your eyes. You better watch out. You see what I'm saying? Does he not do that to you too? Tell you the worst thing that there could possibly be? You know what? But I don't agree with that. I don't confess that. Right? By his stripes I'm healed. That's what I confess. Amen? But that's the way the devil works. So you say, Brother Tony, Brother Tony's a man. I'm telling you, I'm a man. And I will stand up here and tell you. But that's the way it works, see? But his word is what we live by, right? His word is what we want to display. Amen. And so we're happy to do that. Amen. and let the musicians come. You love him? Appreciate God. If anybody has prayer this morning, I certainly would invite you to come up. And you know, I don't spend a lot of time trying to do altar calls or nothing like that. I don't try to express any kind of glory in the fact that I can get people to come to the altar. Actually, as a pastor of church, I want to see you rise to the place in your experience in God that you come in here and say, "Brother Tony, I ain't got no problem. The devil's under my feet. I'm just here to feed. I'm just here to eat the word." You know, but I want you to know that if you ever have any problems, you ever have anything, whether it to be in private interview or right here, just to come and have Brother Daniel operate, anything and everything that you might have, you have a people who believe. You have a people that want to express God, and no matter what comes your way, we want to fight the devil with everything that we have within us. And so we certainly open that up to you anytime, not just this service. If you ever have need of prayer, we certainly want to do that. If you need it, don't walk away. God will do great things for you. Let's just bow our hearts to Him. Lord, we thank you this morning for this opportunity to be in your house and with your word. We thank you for your mercy and your grace. Lord, to take us as a people that have made so many mistakes, but yet you have lifted us up and placed us in your redeemed, Lord, by predestination. And Lord, you've come down in this hour to reveal those things to us. And we're so thankful, Lord, to see you revealing your word and expressing your word to us. We want to be a better people. We want to be a people that's more perfect in walking with you. We want to be like Enoch and walk with you day in and day out as the generation is wicked. We ask, God, that you'd help us in this way as we commit ourselves to you. I pray, God, you'd bless everyone that's here, that, Lord, each one would go away with something they heard this morning that meant something to them, that it illuminated their pathway, maybe helped them understand how they could fight their enemy a little bit more each day. I ask, God, for supernatural power and presence of your presence to be with them, Lord, to help them become overcomers. May they, this week, when they see their enemy come before them that they've fought so many times, may they begin to confess to you, "Lord, I thank you for making me an overcomer to this enemy." Lord, that we just want to see you among your people, moving from breast to breast, from heart to heart. Lord, manifestation to manifestation of your truths to each one. We love you, Lord. Commit ourselves to you in that way. Just the whole congregation, Lord, under your blood. And Lord, with the manifestation of Christ doing great wonders among them. That's where we want to be. We thank you, Lord. Ask these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Remember that Brother Ben Beer is going to be with us second weekend in June. Amen. Let's all stand. Sing and worship. of him. Wanted to just kind of say a few things about the building and what we're doing. We still have a 3-month waiting period and an attorney that we have to get everything recorded completely properly. We have a deed now that's been given to us from the state, but that deed, in order to make it fully protected, like with title insurance and to be able to sell it and that sort of thing, we have a 3-month waiting period, and then we have to have an attorney take care of some stuff, and a judge or whatever, and then it becomes totally, completely irreversible. So just pray that you would keep praying as the Lord takes us through this process, and we're being diligent. We're being diligent about what God has done. We've looked long for this. And so we want to make the right decisions. There are some things, obstacles, and decisions that we need to make on how to approach some of the work that needs to be done. So I ask that you would just keep us in prayer, that God will guide us, and His will be done, just like we've said all along. His will be done, and you know, not something we want or something like that, but His will, that He would guide us and direct us and just cut off any avenue that we don't need to go down. And so I believe that He will do that for us. But just keep the board of trustees and the leaders of the church in mind in prayer, that the Lord would guide us and that He would protect us. And as we, you know, get things done that needs to be done, that all these things will be underneath His guidance and so forth. And I believe He's done that so far. Amen. And so I know that you've been praying. And I know that for me personally, I want you to have the best. And I know that we've got some ways to get there, I guess, but we'll be happy with what the Lord, I mean, we're happy with what He's done, but I want you to have the best. So, amen. Everybody somber? Was it that bad? No. Lord bless you. Like I said, remember Brother Ben Beard will be with us in the 10th and 11th of June, so be in prayer about that. Amen. So, let's just sing again. Dismissed, you can be dismissed in the name of the Lord.
I live.